This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are speaking with Alex Anders.
Hello.
Writer, athlete, vlogger, and now he is an event planner. And he is going to be talking about his upcoming event in June. Welcome, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
Good. We also have Mick Collins joining us for the first time as an official co-host. Well, and welcome to you, Mick.
Thanks, I'm glad to be here.
Hey. So let's start off by finding all about you, okay?
Okay. Well, I'm from the Bahamas. I grew up there, and my mother is the first Miss Universe contestant from my country. I went to college in Wisconsin. After that, I decided I was going to become an actor, in which case I moved around the country, lived in 9 different cities in 3 different countries before moving to Los Angeles, in which case I came here 6 months in and switched to being a producer. Mm-hmm. Did that for a while. Worked for Disney and other companies. And then a few years ago, when I was working as marketing with Disney, the recession hit, and I had left my job just a few months prior. And I was wondering what I should do, not being employed and having unemployment coming in. And I thought, well, why don't I do the thing that I loved the most, which was writing. And I decided to write my first book. And very quickly, one turned into 3 and then into 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. I switched to writing romance after I didn't have much success in the other genres, and very quickly started earning my living doing it. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've been an author by trade and a lover of life past that.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And are you on social media? You do a lot of YouTube work, which I really enjoyed. You actually did the Still Bisexual video, which is a campaign I really support. Are you on any other social media?
Oh, absolutely. I really love social media, and because I have the producer background, you know, I love working with cameras and whatnot. And actually, starting back in 2009, I created my first YouTube channel, called By and Large, and what it was doing was talking about, you know, bisexual topics. And at the time, there was no one else, so I was the only guy talking about bi stuff back then. But I had since removed it from YouTube, and recently, at the beginning of this year, I decided I needed to get back to production, and I started creating more videos, some for as sort of comedy videos for, you know, romance audience.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I realized, you know what, I probably should start talking about being bisexual, because although there are a few bi YouTubers out there, there are not a lot of them, and more voices could be heard. So I created a channel called Bisexual Real Talk. And as opposed to many other channels and many other videos on YouTube that focus on helping the straight and the gay communities understand bisexuals, I thought I would create a channel exclusively to help bisexuals come out and understand themselves and be more authentic in who they are.
That's a good
idea.
Thank
you for doing that. Yeah. And there's always room for more. You're right. There is not enough content for us out there. So we appreciate that so much.
I'm hoping you like it. I have a tendency to be a little bit more controversial on my channel. I say things that might be less comfortable to hear, although I might say it in a fun way. I think there's a lot of my biggest desire is to help people come out, help the community grow, and sometimes things aren't exactly the most comfortable things to hear. But ultimately, any topic I take on or anything I say is I'm doing because I think it could help the community grow in some way.
Well, you know, in my opinion, if we're comfortable, we aren't going to change anything. I think that we have to be very blunt and very out there about what's going on. So I appreciate that, too.
Thank you. Sometimes there's issues that people aren't willing to talk about. Someone's got to talk about them so we can get it out in the open.
Exactly.
So, your turn, Mick.
My turn?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to looking through your writing, and it was largely like, you know, romance and erotica, you tend to delve into some rather interesting topics. Did you delve into it because there's a call for it, or you just thought it'd be something interesting to go into, to write about?
In terms of romance, I'm very, I give the people what they want.
Okay.
So, when I first started writing erotic romance specifically, I didn't know what I should be writing about. The very first story I wrote was actually a man-on-man story, a gay story, if you will,
okay,
about a young guy who comes to Los Angeles and meets another young guy he quickly falls in love with because he's never been around gay people before. And that person he falls in love with is an escort and very quickly brings him to the world of escorting. And I wrote it simply because I was trying to figure out some other way to make money. And I thought, okay, well, erotic romance makes money. I should write that. And very quickly, they became bestsellers various places. And mm-hmm. I just kind of followed what I did. So I wrote more man-on-man stories. And then finally I said, well, I really want to write things I kind of enjoy, which were more bisexual stories. And then from that, I started writing more straight stories simply because that's what most people want to read, mm-hmm. and it's my job to sell books. So I kind of took that path, and when various topics became popular, like BDSM and BBW stories, which are big, beautiful women stories, I tried my hand at those, and the ones that readers said, oh, we really love the way you did this, I did more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mick is a writer, so he's going to be very curious about your writing.
Love to meet other writers.
Yeah, I'm always like picking people's brains about that. Years and years ago, I published some erotica online too, and kind of talked with a few of the others, and it seemed like whether they were terribly open about it or not, bisexual writers tended to be more comfortable hitting less kind of vanilla type of subjects and always seem to be willing to take bigger challenges when it came to like romantic and erotic writing.
I agree with that. Perhaps because we have passed that barrier of normal. Like we mm-hmm. are not society generally thinks of as typical or normal. So since we've passed that line, we then explore other things. What else is out there? What else is not normal that perhaps should be considered acceptable or whatever else? And that exploration leads to interesting places.
Yeah, I agree. That I think that as a whole, and I can't speak for everyone, the bisexual community is a lot more sex positive and aware than others. And I know I'm going to get slack about that, mm-hmm. but it just seems to be the case. I mean, it just seems to be a more comfortable place for us to be when we talk about it.
I think so. I do know, though, that and one of my main missions with the podcast, with my channel, and a lot of the things I do is to bring in the other element. There's a, when they do these studies, it always shows there's so many more female bisexuals than are male bisexuals. And people have a tendency to say that's because, there are more, or it's more likely that a woman will be bisexual than a man. I always think, well, no, it's because there's a whole part of the male community or male gender that mm-hmm. They can't embrace the idea.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So yeah. With the bisexual community, there's a group that's open and acceptable about it, and they become aware first of the community and they join the community, and then there are other people who are lagging behind. I think those people who are lagging behind would be the ones that are just your typical guys that might have been bisexual if they would explore it more, but instead found a wife and settled down and all that stuff. So, I think the community that exists right now is very sex positive. But I think bisexuals in general, I think, we run the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
It's very true. There is still work to be done for the bisexual men, because coming out is a little different for them. In this very misogynistic world, it can be difficult for them. So
I agree. Yeah. But a positive note on that, which I realized just last night, is I think we're entered the golden age of bisexual men on TV. And I say that because we now have 3 lead males that are currently on U.S. television who identify as bisexual or who have openly bisexual experiences. I just realized last night, and I was so excited by that.
Yeah, it's great. They've missed the mark a couple times. Like, they really screwed up with Constantine, and that's a thorn in my side. But
do they actually have him be bisexual or no?
No. They let him smoke, which is, you know, I don't know if you're aware of our stats. That's one of our worst things in the bisexual community, is we have a high incidence of smoking. So they let him smoke, but no, they have an approach to sexuality, except for showing him as being straight, you know, a girlfriend.
Now, I did see a video that was shot with the producers of Constantine at Comic-Con, and a mm-hmm. person asked them that question about being bisexual, and the producers very openly said, "We never said that he isn't bisexual, but, you know, we need some time before we introduce that."
Yeah, that was the better one. There was another one that was done, and the one producer, I can't think of his name, was pretty hostile. So, you know, that was, they probably rethought that and thought, yeah, that probably wasn't a good idea. But yeah, I think that was more that what upset a lot of people was their kind of hostile attitude about it at first. I don't know what the degree now, but so fingers crossed on that.
Hey, luckily it's changed. Is the show still on?
I think so. I think my sister watches it.
I'm not sure. I heard some about it being not coming back next season, but I don't know. I don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm not the authority on that.
That's what I heard too.
Either.
But, you know, just in case, there's a show called Halt and Catch Fire, which is on AMC that just came back to season 2 last night. And Lee Pace, if you know who he is, he played Legolas's father in the Hobbit movies, and he played the guy in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lead character in it, and during season 1, just out of nowhere, they show him a part of his past, and it was that he was in love with a man for a long mm-hmm. time and didn't know how to deal with it. And the man was reintroduced, you know, for the present, and it was all about him and the woman he loves and how they're dealing with it. So there you go, another great show, and
awesome.
He is straight out bisexual.
That's fantastic.
That's a good start right there. I like that.
Yeah, I do another podcast for the Orphan Black Show.
Yes.
I really encourage people to watch that, because they do a really excellent job about talking about bisexuality, and not enough, as far as I'm concerned, about sexuality in general and gender. And I just encourage everyone to watch that too.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of that show as well.
Yeah, we do a podcast for it. We have a really good time.
Okay. I'll check that one out.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to it. I'm not going to advertise on here because everybody knows. So we want to talk about your event. You are now an event planner. What's going on in L.A. in June?
Well, it is going to be the first singles bisexual dating event, apparently, in the U.S. that's open to the public. And the way it came about was I had done a video on the bisexual topic, and the video's title was Bisexuals Are Greedy, and it was talking about dating. And at the end of the video, I said, if you can't find a bisexual community, it's your fault. If you don't see one, go out and create it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat on that for a couple of days, and then I realized, you know what, I want to date bisexual women, but I can't find them past my group ambi. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? And I said, well, in the video I said that if I can't find it, I should create it. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to create this.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to the organizers at ambi, and they thought it was a great idea, and they thought, you know, that I should run with it, and they would support it. So I then connected up with another popular meetup organization that does game nights, which I had attended and really much enjoyed and had gotten quite a few dates from. So I thought, mm-hmm. if we're ever going to do anything, we should take the structure here. So I talked to the person who organized it, and she loved the idea of doing an event for bisexuals. So we put all the groups together, and we all agreed this was a good thing, and we chose a date. And after that, I started reaching out to other groups to try and get advertisement for it. And one of the groups I reached out to was OkCupid.
Ooh,
yeah. And OkCupid, who is a very socially aware company, and they're marching in the Pride Parade and in New York and have done other things. And also the big thing about OkCupid is that they are the only major dating site that allows you to identify as bisexual and to search for other bisexuals to date.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I thought, well, if any major dating company would be interested in partnering with us, it would be them. And I contacted them, and they got back to me saying, this sounds very exciting. We'd love to partner with you guys and make this a live event for OkCupid and create a page on their website and send emails to their members saying that this is going on and just being generally cool with us. So after that, I thought, well, this is awesome. Wonder if there's anyone else I can look for and contact. And I thought, well, BuzzFeed Video has done videos on the bisexual topic previously, so maybe they would be interested in doing it again. And they had done a video in collaboration with Ambi previously. So I got back in contact with the producer who had done it, and he said, yes, we would love to be involved with it in some way or do a video on it or somehow help you guys out. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, we've been talking with BuzzFeed about possible videos we can do in support of the event and just videos we can do just to raise awareness of bisexuals in general. So we've been working on that for the past month or so, all the various partners. And it's coming on June 20th, and this one, because it's a dating event, you need to, set demographics so people who are coming know who they're going to meet. So this one is specifically for young, single bisexuals. And essentially the format is that you're going to go there and it's going to be an icebreaker for the first hour. You're going to get a sticker on your back and there's going to be a word on that sticker. And you can go and talk to various people and you can only ask them three questions to guess what word is on your back, and that way you get a chance to meet a whole bunch of people before the actual game starts. And after that hour is done, games such as Jenga or Cards Against Humanity or Spoons or Connect Four or Uno are put on tables, and you can just join whatever table you want and migrate from table to table and just meet new people.
Well, that sounds fantastic. That
sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
It really is.
So this, if it works out, this would be great to get going everywhere and, include some of this old folks, too, by the way.
Well, here's the great thing. I chose this simply because I chose this demographic and I chose this format simply because the organizer who's done those other game night events, this is what they do. Like, they have 10,000 followers themselves. And initially mm-hmm. it was all about how to get the word out. So we did something. We just took what they did, which was for the same demographic, the young demographic,
right.
And we just made it bisexual to try and get it to be as successful as possible. But I was talking to OkCupid, and OkCupid loves this concept so much and loves the idea of supporting the bisexual community so much that they want this to continue. They want us to do more. So if this one's successful, we're going to do one for other age groups. And then if that's successful, Ambi is, at least in Los Angeles, San Diego, Sacramento, Portland, and Ashland, we're absolutely going to do events in those areas. And as Ambi expands, which they're planning on doing, we'll be able to do it in every single location where they are. So it's very exciting. I think of this as a way of kind of solving the problem of how bisexuals can meet each other. And it's really wonderful because before this, as far as I know, we've never had a dating event of this way, and now we have a chance to have it just absolutely everywhere in the country.
Yeah, I'm not aware of anything like this ever happening before. And I'm here. I can't wait to see what happens in Portland, because that's where I am at, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm waiting to see what they do with that here in Portland with the Ambi group. But, you know, one of the things that there are a lot of, well, they've nicknamed several names, but late bloomers, those of us who came out very late. And it's really hard to connect with people my age. I mean, it really is. It's because things are usually geared for the younger crowd. So really looking forward to seeing this happen.
It's going to be, it absolutely will happen. If this is successful here, it absolutely will be expanded out, because that's kind of, you know, kind of my thing to get people to embrace. And I feel that interdating is the best possible way to build a community.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure, yeah.
And if anyone has the chance, I mean, we have organizers in various locations, and they have the same issues that you have, which I have. I mean, it doesn't actually matter which age you are. It's just hard to meet other bisexuals,
yes,
because it's hard to find people who identify as bisexual, and then you have to get them to tell you that they're bisexual. And then, you know, so it's just complicated.
You know, and it's this illusion that the general public has that there just is, you can't find people like yourself. You know, I had no idea there was a whole community. I thought, you know, I was kind of just like this freak. You know,
well, here's,
and it, because we're not promoted enough. Well, you know, we're not mainstream.
Here's a crazy thing. So in college, I remember going to college, and, you know, leading up, I had major, I was fell in love with girls in high school and stuff like that. But I also had kind of fantasies about guys. And when I was a freshman in college, I remember sitting in my room by myself going, you know what? I think I'm gay. And I said, you know what? I'm gay. And that lasted like 5 minutes. And then I realized I cannot live life without a woman in it. And I said, okay, then I'm bisexual. But that was 17. And all those years passed. And I can tell you, between 17 and when I joined the Ambi group about 6 months ago, I literally met, this is not an exaggeration, I literally met 3 people who were bisexual. And that's, we're talking 20 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
3
mm-hmm.
people. That's insanely crazy. And, you know, not seeing on television, of course, and not reading about it in the books that I was reading. It's crazy. So, you know, that's why I'm so passionate about allowing people to connect and getting people to come out, because the community is there, or the people are there. It's just a matter of gathering together, because the numbers are huge.
We are huge. I mean, from what many statistics say, many studies, that we're the major population in the LGBT.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
You never know it, you know, but yes, we are.
You never know it.
Right?
Well, we're very appreciative that you're doing this, and, you know, we're glad to help with this. So let's get some lowdown, when, where, what, and all that. You gave us some of it, but...
Well, the when, where, what is June 20th, which, an easy way to remember, it's the first Saturday after Pride in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be at a bar lounge in downtown Los Angeles called the Continental Club. It's one of those places where, you know, stylish dress is required. It's kind of upscale. It's a super cool place. And it's going to be starting at 7 a.m. and going until 10:30. And I recommend that you get there early. Like, I recommend you get there at 7, because that is when you get the best chance of meeting everyone and finding someone that you can connect with and talk to. And it's going to be a great time. It's called, the event itself is called the Young Single Bisexuals Game Night Mixer. And I'm really hoping that those who are interested should come down and check it out, because it really will be a fun time. And even if you're a member of Ambi or you're a member of any other bisexual group or organization, you're going to be meeting people here that you can't meet on OkCupid, that you can't meet at Ambi, that you can't meet on Facebook. There's going to be a whole bunch of new people here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it blows your mind. Because that's the goal.
That's the goal.
That's a good goal.
Yes.
It sounds like the goal is, besides, you know, getting a date, which is always cool, is building our community too. So, hey.
Yeah.
Yes. And I, you know, love the idea that OkCupid is doing it. you know, we have this live event, and I imagine that the way to stay connected after the event is either, you know, get on OkCupid and find those people again, or join Ambi and socialize with those people, or, well, actually, but it's probably one of those two things. But that's the way mm-hmm. of building the community, to not just find people in this one opportunity, but to then expand and continue finding people. And maybe we'll be doing it once a month, but this one has to be successful for that to happen.
Exactly. So everybody show up that the venue will have him back.
Absolutely.
Right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. All links will be provided on the website for that.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Actually, there is not. I could promote your books, but that's not necessary.
You can promote your books. It's okay.
Okay. Well, I would like to mention, simply because it's what I do, that I have a new book series coming out. Probably by the time you are listening to this, it's going to be live. It's one of those topics that, you know, kind of push the boundaries. It's Serving Two Masters, and it's a BDSM short series. And the reviews have been exceptionally good right now, so you can go ahead and pick that up on Amazon if you're into that stuff. And I think you're going to enjoy it.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. Fantastic. Sorry, I was on mute. We don't have enough good, let's not even talk about Shades of Grey, BDSM books out there. So we appreciate that.
And hopefully you'll enjoy it. This is, you know, I write the whole gamut. I write everything from just kind of the sweet romance all the way up to the hardcore stuff. And I have to warn you that Serving Two Masters is really the hardcore BDSM.
Okay.
I had written them back in 2012, and they did okay. And I wrote three books, and there was supposed to be a fourth one, and I didn't even bother releasing the fourth one because they kind of pitted out as they went along in terms of readership. But I kept on having fans emailing me saying, "Where's four? I think this series is your best series. Please release four." So I finally went back and I remastered them, if you will, and re-released them and remarketing them. And I'm really glad I did because, like I said, the reviews have been really quite phenomenal for them. So when they finally are released as the series in the next couple of days, I think people are going to like them.
But fantastic.
Very cool.
But they are hardcore, so you should know.
Uh-huh. I know some people in the community, they'd be very interested in seeing that because you're right, a lot of times they're not represented very well in the fiction. It's like 50 Shades of Grey type stuff, so that's very cool.
Right.
Yeah, awesome. I know a lot of people. All right. Sex positive, guys. Hey. All right, I just want to remind you all, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are definitely not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So I'm just going to introduce you a little bit and kind of add it in, okay?
Okay, cool.
All right, so this is Mick Collins. He has joined us as a co-host. Mick has his own show, actually, St. Zero Headphone Bleeds, which is a real kick, and that is on Sunday nights, and we will put up his links for that. He's also a writer, and he has written a book called Night Show Overtake, which I love, and he also has some other books in the works. Anything else we'd like to tell our community about yourself, Nick?
Well, I've been out for almost 20 years now. I haven't really done much in the way of community, and I'm really, really looking forward to immersing myself in it more because, you know, it's kind of tough feeling like you're out in the middle of nowhere when you're surrounded by a crowd of people. It's nice to be in your crowd.
Absolutely. Well, we're happy to have you on. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad, really glad to be here.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.